Good evening. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Denise Orkey. I am married to Kevin, my husband of 14 years. We have two boys. My first son is Joshua. He's 12 and he's in the 7th grade. Nolan will be 7 next month and he's in the 1st grade. Kathy has asked me to share with you tonight on her behalf. She also called yesterday to say hello. So, hello. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your presence here tonight. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would feel your overwhelming sense of love for us tonight, and Lord, that we would just know your scriptures in our heart. I pray, Father, that we would know that more love and power, just truly, truly know that in our hearts tonight. I pray, Lord, that your word would just pierce the ears and hearts of these ladies tonight. Lord, that I know that each one of them will hear the message that you have for them. And I just pray, Lord, that it would just lay upon their hearts, Lord, that it would be something that they could reflect back on as the night goes on. Lord, I just thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't go out void. I pray, Father, that you would just touch each and every one of us tonight. Lord, that your spirit would be here and just lead me. Father, we just want to praise you and give you all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. As we begin, this is Paul talking here. In verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as in babes into Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, you are not carnal. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another says, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, and you are God's building." Well, as we see in verse 1 through 3, Paul called the Corinthians infants in their Christian life because they were not yet spiritual, healthy, and mature. The proof was in their quarreling like children, allowing division to distract them. Paul referred to them as babes in Christ, carnal, immature Christians who were worldly and living in the flesh, controlled by their own desires, only able to be fed the milk of the word. This here is saying that they could only understand the elementaries of teaching. The dictionary defines the elementary as teachings of the first principle of anything. To be fed with solid food means strong doctrine for the mature believers. Mature believers are in tune with God's desires, able to get a hold of the meat of the word. I think of the meat as being eaten for nourishment. Think of a new baby. Would you feed it meat? No. We feed them milk, or breast milk or formula to start, because that is all that they can digest. The digestive system can only handle that milk. As the digestive system matures, then it's that we will slowly introduce foods to them. That is what God does with all of us. We are all carnal at times. God just wants us to keep trying harder and praying for help to overcome those things that keep us in the world's way of doing things. I know when I look at my driving in the past, it's still not the best now too, but I know that I'm really an impatient person, and when it came to my driving habits, I was really bad about living in the world when it came to people cutting me off or making me almost cause an accident or whatever it is that maybe, or they're not going fast enough. But I know that in time that I've really prayed about and really just pressing and asking the Lord to help me with that, that He does come through. He does help us with even the smallest of things. I know more now, I'm more aware of that sticker that's on the back of my car that says it's all about Jesus, the Calvary Chapel of Oklahoma. So I know that I really have to be watching my driving habits now, and the Lord even helps me more there. Ponder this thought. How much influence does your desires have on your life? Your goal should be to let God's desire be yours. Being controlled by your own desires will stunt your growth. To grow spiritually requires that we look to Christ for our identity. Read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to find out how Jesus lived, what He said, and how He responded to people and situations. Follow His examples as you face challenges in your life. Plant seeds, water, and encourage others in what you are learning from Jesus' life. In verses 4 through 6, Paul planted the seeds of the gospel message in people's hearts. He was a minister of God. He brought the message of salvation. Apollos' role was to water those seeds planted, to help believers grow stronger in their faith. Paul founded the church in Corinth, and Apollos built on that foundation. Tragically, the believers in Corinth had split into groups with opposition, pledging loyalty to different teachers, as we saw back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 11 through 13. Paul goes on to tell the believers that their job as teachers is to teach what God has given them to share. And after the preacher's work is completed, God keeps on making Christians grow. Seeds planted in my yard, in the time that I planted seeds in my yard, at times I do things from seedlings or bulbs, and I know that I can only do so much to make that plant grow. That I can plant it, I can water it, I can plant it in the right amount of sunlight that it needs to nourish it, fertilize it, but it's ultimately God who brings forth that seedling that comes forth and gives me the flower that I've planted. And we know that we can only do so much, and then at that point everything's in God's hands. We also have different fruit trees in our backyard, and three of the trees that we planted about 3 years ago have continued to give us fruit, except for one tree. The first year it was planted, it gave us fruit, but the last 2 years it hasn't given us any, and we had wondered, well, did we not plant it in the right place? Have we pruned it wrong? Not fed it enough? And come to find out that the apricot tree was only blooms or bears fruit every 3 years. So basically we can only do what we can do with nurturing that tree. Whether the tree decides it's going to bring forth a fruit, it's in the tree, and God brings forth the fruit. We can't do that. Our leaders should certainly be respected, but we should never place them on pedestals that creates barriers between people or sets them up as a substitute for Christ. In verses 7 through 9, we can see Paul plainly states, and God's work involved many different individuals with a variety of gifts and ability. In the homework, we were asked to describe what it means to be a fellow worker with someone. In John 17:21a, Jesus said, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. This is our example, walking in unity and companion with work. A key thought to that would be, Bridge building unites those who are separated. There are no heroes in this task before us, only team members working together as fellow workers performing their own special roles, given to them by God. We all can become useful members of God's team by setting aside our desires to receive glory for what we do. Don't seek to have praise from people. It's comparatively worthless and only for the moment. Instead, seek approval from God. Eternal reward is far more than we can ever imagine. Depend on the grace of God in Christ and wait upon the Holy Spirit. The more we shall bring forth the fruit unto God. In John 15:4 it states, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "Oh, to trust Jesus for fruit as well as for life. God chose to use me in a vessel to work his plan, a miracle for my doctor. To come to the Lord, I am the way. I am the same as you are. I may look different to you now because I'm not sick anymore, but I'm still the same person on the outside. It's just the me on the inside that has changed. The Lord had changed me in and through the cancer and time before that. But I just feel like the Lord would really show that each one of you can also be a vessel for him. It doesn't matter what degrees you have or don't have. I never finished school. My last grade that I finished in school was 10th grade. I wasn't allowed to finish school. I was to stay at home and continue in working with the business that my parents had. So more will go into, as I read here, about more of my background, as to it shows you how the Lord uses each and every one of us, even though we have terrible backgrounds that were torn apart and broken. So basically what I'm saying is, I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like all the rest of you. Not one of us is any more or less of value to God. Some of us are at a different place in our walk in the Lord. Don't settle for where you are. Seek more from your relationship with God. As I said, I would share more about my background. I was saved as a child, age 9, but I continued to live a miserable, unhappy, discontent, unfulfilled, and unfruitful Christian who had no victory in Christ in my life. Like many Christians, I had enough of Jesus to stay out of hell, but not enough to walk in victory. He was my Savior and not my Lord. I wanted to develop a real heart for God, building a relationship. God prepared me all my life for what I was to go through in the 2 years of cancer. He allowed me to go through physical abuse as a child growing up so that I could endure the physical pain that came with the cancer. He allowed me to be sexually and mentally and emotionally abused so that I could know of his love for me. In learning about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23, God put love first, because God is love. Then joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits follow, showing expressions of that love. In learning to love others, I have found that what precedes love and the fruits of the Spirit is what comes natural now in my life. Loving God leads us to obedience. God points out this out in John 15:14, that we will follow his commands if we truly love him. I know that God has allowed much pain and suffering in my life for his reasons. I had questioned him in the 2 years that I had cancer if it really was necessary for me to go through all the pain and suffering. All the tests, hospital visits, CAT scans, blood transfusion, chemotherapy, radiation, hydration, and all the other inconveniences that come with having cancer treatments. This experience with cancer was indeed one of the hardest times in my life. At times, I had wondered if I was up to it. Yet, in the midst of all the difficulties, I could see the things God was doing in my life, as well as with others, too. For one thing, the ordeal of cancer treatments had forced me to slow down, to examine my innermost heart, what I truly believed, what I cared about the most, and what I stood for. God used my pain to bring results to others' deliverance, and I am a living example of God's promise. In Hebrews 13:5, He will never leave me or forsake me. I know that I am to abide in the Holy Spirit, listening to His direction as to bring others to the knowledge and saving grace of Jesus Christ. Through the 2 years that I sought treatments from my doctor, I had a lot of time to witness to him about God's love for all and of His power in my life. I know that He came to the Lord of His own free will with planting of seeds at times and watering them at other times. God gets all the glory. God brought forth the fruit. I could not change the mind and the heart of this worldly, well-educated doctor, but God did it through me. God took me right up to the last minute, where there could be no doubt in anyone's mind that God healed me, that no one else or anything else could have shown that it had done that. I had had my last chemo treatment in December of 2001, and the last radiation treatment in the late February of 2002. The last tests that were done on me 1 month prior before God healed me, all the tests had showed that cancer had spread even more. At that time, like many times before, the doctor would shake his head and say, "I just don't know," or "I just don't understand where you get your strength from." My answer would always be, "From God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," and that's found in Philippians 4:13. I know that I can't do it on my own, and I can do it with Christ. In the time with cancer, I was told by many people of different kinds of herbs, salves, ointment, eating habits, and treatments that worked for others in their healing of cancer. But God kept telling me to stay where I was in my treatments. I knew they weren't working, but trusting in God, He knows the end results. I know that God had prepared me 2 years prior to this illness. But I do remember thinking, what was the point of the last 2 years if it was to end this way? Yes, there were a few times that I did doubt my faith and had been rocked. But God reminded me of this in Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." The Lord also had put on my heart to share with you something that I had written in the time when I was sick with the cancer. This was written on one of the weekends that after I had chemotherapy. Usually I would be in bed two or three days following that, not being able to get up to do much of anything, just being very sick and weak from it. The things that are written on this paper here are my innermost thoughts, and I really had a hard time with this, with the Lord asking me to share this. But I just kept getting, do it, somebody needs to hear it. So, with that being said, I will read it. I won't read the entire portion, but I will read to a certain point. So, "Praise be to you, O Father, for your word throughout eternity. It shall always remain. I love to read and study it. My heart fills with peace as I meditate on it day and night. Thank you for leading me through your word. It is a flashlight before my feet, your word. My Bible provides a radiant beam and illuminates the exact true way of the darkest pathways. Oh, the secrets and the marvelous mysteries of life you reveal to me. You lay out the answers as on a holy scroll. You teach me what I need in order to handle each situation. I see your counsel and you grant me wisdom through your word. As I follow the advice in your scriptures, I find confidence, certainty in decisions to be made. Thank you for providing my Bible. It is a steadfast truth. True lessons will never change. I praise you that I can depend on them all of my life. I will study and memorize their teachings so you can be pleased with me. I will trust you to help me understand as we go through it together. Father, thank you for teaching me what is important in life. It is not a smooth-flowing life with no trials or stress. It is not perfect happiness and plenty of riches. It is you being at the center of my life to be balanced with joy and sorrow in you, Lord. For it is true joy that comes from you, and you allow the troubles assail on all sides. Circumstances may seem impossible to overcome, but joy is at the center of my being. In good times and in bad times, I have learned to praise you. Father, your Holy Spirit still brings confidence and joy. As I focus in on you, my heart may ache when things go wrong, but my joy in you remains. Your joy is my strength. When I am shattered, broken, bruised from the storms in life, God, you are there picking up the pieces, mending me and helping me to grow again. I wonder, what beauty, Father, would you create from my injuries? It is wonderful that you never give up on me. Father, I want my life to be all about you, but I lack the strength day to day to mirror your Son. I fail in so many ways. The physical pain has become much more than even I can endure. The sorrow and the pain in my heart overwhelms me with grief for Kevin, my sons, and others. My outward actions are not consistent. My old nature rears its ugly head. I stumble when I should be walking in confidence in you, Lord. My faith is weak at times when it should be strong. Lord, shut the door on my old self so that no one can open that door, and show me how to open the door to the new self, and for you, God, to be my guide through that door. Father, it has been rough sailing with the aggressive chemotherapy and the setbacks with the spreading of cancer taking over more and more of my body, limiting me more every day. Lord, I am pounding the gates of heaven with a request for healing. I am not asking that you take all the physical pain and other symptoms away. Just as your Son had prayed, take away this cup from me, not my will, but yours be done. Have I not shown myself to you, Father, wanting more of what you want and not my wants, walking faithfully with you? I know that I have not always done what was in your plans, Father, but am I not learning more and more to draw closer to your heart and pleasing you? Lord, I feel tested to the limit, but through it all, I know that you are here, helping me, strengthening and comforting me. I don't know why I have to struggle or what is in your plans for me, but you, God, know the answer, and I trust in you in the most fury of trials. I still put my confidence in you and obey. I love knowing you, my Father. I feel that you are refining me like a precious metal, standing nearby and watching while the impurities painfully burn away. Father, I pray, show me how to be the sacrifice that you want me to be, in praise and glory for you. Should I be required to go through further afflictions, help me not to let my spirit be consumed. Father, only you can give me the strength to pass the test, and I know that your compassionate Holy Spirit will go with me. This was God's response to me. My heart rejoices at the progress that you're making in your spiritual walk. I can see that you are dissatisfied with yourself. You keep looking at where you are now, and you think that your progress is not enough. You have been comparing yourself to others, thinking that you fell short of the mark or the goals I had set before you. Every day, you move in line with my word. You set your heart and mind on doing the best you can for me, Yes, I know sometimes you fall short of what you have determined that you would do, but I do not count that as failure, as you do. Time from time, again, I see you getting up and continuing again to do the best that you can do. It is not who begins the race that receives the reward. It is the one who finishes the race who is the victor. Many determine to do my will, but when the first obstacle arises, they stumble and fall. They just lie there, giving up. Worse than that, they go back to the life they were living. What matters to me, not how many times you stumble and fall. What matters to me is how many times you get up and keep on going. Remember that I am the way, the truth, and the light. In me, your God, you have found your identity, your self-worth, and your security. I am the way. I am leading you to me because I am your destination. The glorious fact is that as you reach me through my Son Jesus, you will be leading others to me. In all humility, Jesus had said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do not be overly concerned with the old ways and habits are still attached to you. They cannot dominate you anymore. As you seek me and fill yourself with the pure, uncompromised word, my word, all those worldly things that seem to pull you down will diminish and drop away. You are determined to show the world that you are brand new inside, and you are brand new inside. And they know that I dwell in you. Many people are beginning to draw to me because they have witnessed and are witnessing the changes in you. Yes, people are reading you every day. You are my letter to the world. Yes, I know sometimes you do astray, but your heart is so tender toward me and my ways that when I speak to you about it, you quickly yield yourself to the pattern, your life, and the biblical standard that I had set before you. I know that your reverence toward me and my word springs from your love. This love is so deep that you desire to shun anything and everything could offend me. This is me speaking now. Father, the struggle I'm going through is heartache for others more than me. Lord, help me empathize and encourage words of deeds and kindness. Teach me to walk in you. Lord, in all things, sowing peace and harvesting righteousness, show me how to be strong in you, Lord. Quicken to me your word in my time of need. Keep me alert, Lord, to your voice. God, please send forth your Holy Spirit to help me. Be bold for the truth in your spirit. Please push me in my growth and sharing with others. Guide my speech. Direct my conversation. Father, I am eager to water the seeds from you and not the weeds from this world. Lord, help me to be that living epistle that others will read. It's God speaking now. My arms are stretched out wide to welcome and embrace you. I will protect you and heal you. Nothing can harm you when you are cradled in the bosom of me, your Father. How pleased I am with the way that you talk. Blessings and cursings do not come out of your mouth. For you have determined in your heart to speak only good things. Therein lies the power of your witness. Continue to set your heart on being a blessing with your words and actions. Continue to cast down any thought that enters your mind that does not encourage and edify. Look at every person you see as an opportunity for you to sow words that help them and glorify me. Do not give up. Do not ever stop sowing life-giving words. You and I are a team. I, God, the coach, and you are to take joy in practicing my instruction and in my direction. You have given much, and much has been required of you. As you give, others may not know of your motive, but I am well aware that you stretch yourself to the outer limits of human endurance. Because you want to please me, I want to remind you that I look on the heart, and I know your heart is set on me. And I know that your desire is perfectly to obey me in every facet of your life. I am well pleased with your obedience to my word. Continue to be diligent, and in due season you will reap. Yes, I know, child, many obstacles have been put in your path, but you are an overcomer. Be alert to the Spirit who dwells in you. Listen to my voice, and you will know what to do in each and every circumstance. All of my attributes reside in your spirit. I have declared, I will walk in you, I will live in you, and I will be your God, and you will be mine. Every day you draw closer and closer to me and in me. Every day the external you give gives evidence to those around you that the internal you, the inner person, the real you, is complete and entire and perfect in me. Soon, very soon, one day, you will see, as I see you, a pure child of God with a heart full of love and compassion and a deep desire to respond to whatever teaching is placed before you. Not many of my children do so. It is your diligence and excellence to conform to the standard I have placed before you that makes you so precious in my sight. What a joy it is to see one of my children determined to be all that I have called you to be. Yes, it gives me great pleasure to see you continually striving to follow me in all things. I have called you. I have nurtured you. You are at that place where I can bless you ultimately because you have submitted yourself to me. It is no longer I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. It is now Christ does all things through me. There is a difference. The first shows that you have placed your confidence in me to work through you. The second shows that you have allowed me to work through you at will because you continually submit yourself to me so much that my desires are your desires, my will is your will, my concerns are your concerns, my goals are your goals. It is not so much that you search to figure if your goals match up to mine, what I want you to do. No, you have finally reached the point where my goals have become such a part of you that they are your goals too. Where I lead, you follow me. You will not be led astray because your eyes are fixed on me, your Father. Me speaking now. God, healer, I am asking for healing. I pray this to you, Father. I remember of Ezekiel's prayer for healing, also in Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. Keep your commands in my heart, for they will prolong my life many years. And in Psalms 90:10, the length of your days is 70 years or rightly. If we have strength to you, God. In Philippians 2:25-30, how you had mercy on Epaphroditus and healed him as well with sparing Paul's sorrow. This is God speaking now. Child, at the moment your pain began, I heard your cry and began to respond. I hear your prayers in faith. I see your tears for others and not for yourself. I will work a work in you. I will stop there because I feel like that's where the Lord would have me do that. I will close with two statements. One is from your homework. It says on the front page, O believer, may you not settle for simple milk when the awesome treasures of the Lord are so readily available to you. The second statement is one that God gave to me, and so I pass it on to you. Be focused on the greater points of the spiritual power, the cross. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would know and understand your spiritual power. Lord, that the cross wouldn't be just something that we look at, but Father, that we would see your Son there, dying in our place, Lord, with all of the ugliness that the world has out there that was set upon him. We thank you, Father, that he walked this face of this earth, knowing what we go through, Lord, that he bore things so that we wouldn't have to. Father, I just thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that each and every one of these ladies would just be able to reflect on this night, Lord, that your word would just go out and be a light in our lives, Father. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you for these ladies that are here tonight. Lord, I just want to praise you and give you all the glory. And for this evening, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.